Hello, my name is Zara Shahab, and I was a participant in the Talking, Thinking, Dancing Body from 2016 to 2018. March 27th, 2018. Bringing it back home. Town Hall. Recently, a friend posted a quote from Fred Moten about the participation of art institutions in systems of violence. The communities that organize around and depend on those institutions find themselves in a complicated position. It's like you're protesting a public sphere that you want to enter into, but you've already entered into it. And it turns out that it's just grungy and nasty, and people are mean in it and don't treat people very well, and they're stupid. But you want to be in it. You just thought it was better than what it was, and there's something that could be much better, you know? But your only response to it is to continually protest what you think of as your exclusion, when in fact what you're mad about is that you're in it and it's just ugly. You're a subject among other subjects now. You're a citizen, and this is how citizens treat one another. They're mean to one another, it turns out. In under 2 hours, in a dance studio, on a Tuesday, early evenings, once every few months, we practice our agility in naming the sexism, the racism, the abuse of power, and the systems that perpetuate these things, the lack of accountability. We reach out and touch its reality, feel the shape of it, and how we've arranged ourselves to accommodate it. Every time we gather at TTDB with a new group of people, some returning, some first-timers, we meet in the different stages of our reckoning with the often ugly nature of the dance and performance industrial machine, a bucking bronco that we attempt to simultaneously ride and clog. Because the protesting of this public sphere involves recognizing and protesting our own complicity in its ugliness, at times the energy in the room can narrow, suction to become a group working on one particular person's problem, or an individual unwillingness to recognize their problematic action. While sometimes this feels like a step backwards, I wonder about the necessity to deal with these things as they arise. What if change doesn't always look like consensus? What if movement doesn't always look like progress? Over this last year of writing alongside Talking, Thinking, Dancing Body, I've wondered what it's like for someone to attend TTDB once or twice a year, to listen to and to participate, to join a room full of people naming the structures of power that move through our bodies. To bring into the room, by way of our voices and bodies, the things that permeate our making. Capitalist models of art making, colonialism, whiteness, classism, ableism, racism. To recognize these things not as aberrations of the art we make or the communities we make it in, but the fabric of the systems themselves. These things take active, ongoing resistance to notice, name, and attempt to unravel in our bodies and in our work. Depending on where we're standing, what positions of power we hold, and what we're being called to account for, these shifts happen at different places, look different ways. In the last few years, I have noticed folks coming for a while and then dropping off, coming and then returning only years later, or coming and continuing to sit in that room, listening, speaking, listening. The traces of these conversations continue to ripple outwards into the community, and I notice that the starting point for difficult conversations is less wobbly, more solid, within groups of peers and artists younger than me. I know that TTDB is one room that we inhabit to begin these conversations, and my sense is that these rooms are now proliferate, bubbling up and spilling over, multiform, like the community of dancers and makers I inhabit. The hope is that we come away with strategies of actionable and possible ways of doing things otherwise. That the work that TTDB narrows in those 2 hours is already happening, continuously, elsewhere, always. While TTDB has been the basis for my growing resilience and difficult conversation, I also acknowledge that a huge boost in my resilience to be in solidarity, sit in discomfort, and move towards tangible actions for change in art has come through my recent years of working at a feminist rape crisis center. I have honed my rage, joy, and surprise at the work of being a dancer and an artist through the framework of dismantling rape culture. I sit with that realization now, and occasionally its immensity rises up to meet me. I remember just how much work there is still to do. I remember that multiplicity of contexts, of conversations, makes each conversation more powerful. photo of an abstract painting by Ashton Crawley, titled Otherwise Possibility, Nancy Ambrose's Imagination Number 2D, 2017, Mixed Media on Canvas, 36D by 48. The painting has large swaths of red, blue, and yellow, painted in rough linear and box-like sections that intersect and bleed through one another. Darker purples and almost black browns mix with the primary colors to create a sense of motion and a multidirectionality as the white of the canvas is revealed in some areas. Edges of each section blur into the next with rough smear-like paint strokes. At the Talking, Thinking, Dancing Body in late February, the discussion had continued in the vein of art that resists, actions that act as pebbles, as starting points for landslides. The projects we named at Gathering were, for the most part, non-local works and artists, gorgeous, radical projects that asked how before asking what. We appreciated and problematized the school for the movement of Technicolor people. The conversation widened outwards to encompass financial models and differences between Canadian and U.S. funding structures. I realized later, however, that on that day, I felt the room unable to collectively gain momentum from what was already happening in our community, or keep it there. A couple of local examples of pebbles came up, but we either skimmed over them or they were left to the end, announced as public postings rather than as starting points for deeper discussion. On that day, I was holding close experiences of rage and discomfort I'd moved through recently, as ordinary uglinesses were revealed to me all spring in and around the project I was participating in and witnessing. Examples from elsewhere can serve as aspirational and inspirational case studies, but locating our admiration elsewhere seemed to leave less space for the everyday resistances that were already present in the room. I wonder about proximity to problems, proximity to solutions. How do we locate ourselves as complicit, implicit, and already resisting, and go from there? I've been reading, swallowing, and inhaling Adrienne Marie Brown's Emergent Strategy this spring. This book is a sprawling, intimate, dense, and playful love letter to people who are working and organizing. It celebrates learning through failure, and the small and slower than you want it to move but mighty. One of the things she writes over and over again, something that has stuck with me, is this. There is a conversation that only the people in this room can be having. Find it. Some things that I receive early morning texts, late night phone calls about, dancers getting spoken for, asked to represent a marginalized identity by the choreographer they're working for. A collective of artists of color being wedged into a talkback in a white institution, rampant with microaggressions, no awareness from the facilitator around how the talkback is framed. A member of my community being accused of consent violations. A local male choreographer naming his piece Women, fresh on the heels of Le Grand Ballet's naming its all-male choreographed show Femmes. I start to wonder if there is something about being visible in public forums like TTDB that encourages concerns to be brought to me in private. I imagine a network of conversation spangled across messenger, email, phone calls to address a very locatable thing in our bodies. Hurt, outrage, betrayal, deep continuous humming discomfort. Of course, many of these conversations that play out between myself and members of my community have to begin in private. In Hannah Black's essay, Witch Hunt, a piece of writing that keeps surfacing again and again in the context of TTDB, Black writes about the role of gossip as resistance. Gossip, originally the plural term for a group of women, took on a negative connotation under the rise of industry, as women's social bonds were a threat to patriarchal capitalism. Black writes that the gossip, like the witch, was persecuted as if she were an outlaw instead of at the heart of her community. Her superpower is hanging out, giving, sharing, spending, and wasting time together. She provides material for this activity. She brings news, warnings, and information. Worlds appear from her big mouth. An image of text messages. The first two in gray bubbles reading, I'm okay, sick, and as Alyssa put it, I have empathy fatigue. And the second two in blue bubbles reading, I think general stress, and oh geez, yes, from a conversation with Justine Chambers. A photograph of Justine A. Chambers and Sidira Rodriguez taken by Lee Su Fei. The photograph is of two silhouetted figures on either side of the frame. Most of each figure is outside of the frame and we see a portion of their profile. They appear to be in conversation, looking out at an empty space. If I and the people who talk through these writings with me begin these conversations in the realm of public conversation like TTDB, if we immediately match the body pain to the abstracted power dynamic it stems from, we might miss something. If we were to begin these conversations in a room full of people who have intersecting relationships, dynamics, and hierarchies, we might be in danger of theorizing the gut twist, the moment you feel you should speak and don't, the nervous system to nervous system dance that presses on the talking, thinking part of our bodies. But what if public conversation is the pool that can hold the streams of conversations that move towards new possibilities? Recently, Sufei and I talked about why it's important for TTDB to be public conversation and not a series of private ones between small groups of people. To have something in public is responsibility, is civic, is ceremony. It matters that we show up. It matters that we put our bodies in a room together and speak our fears and our desires, our hopes and our griefs. That the imagination stoked in that room or gathered will leak out, disrupt, carry forward. To at once show up with my vulnerability, ignorance, and questions and ask others to do the same, so that we might share the work. So that the overflow, the runoff, might not be wasted, but rather the beginning of something new. Lately, I have begun to realize that the work that it will take to change things is so urgent, so deep and far-reaching, so endless, that this work can begin to spiral me out of myself. The work of organizing, picking up the phone, writing, texting, organizing, naming the problems we see can become so busy-making that I can stop checking in with my own body, coming home to my sensations. My question this year is this: how do we create and sustain networks of artists, not just a few people, who are able to receive, process, name, and then call in these cuts in the fabric of ourselves, so that individuals don't end up with empathy fatigue? To sit with discomfort in a room is to know that my nervous system has been tuned to the frequency of the world I live in, and that my own healing is implicitly part of the work that extends beyond my body. Lisa Prentice recently said that the nervous systems of a group of people attune to the most dominant person in that room. How easily the body can betray us. Over the last year of shifting my position in the room, though, from student to listener, observer to co-facilitator, I have realized that in order not to burn me out, this work needs to feel like a dispersal of possibilities, rather than a containment of. Recently, at a gathering called Teaching Wildness, a conversation hosted by Sufei on pedagogy and consent, artist and teacher Mia Amir said something that has stuck with me. What would it mean to make the institution not the location of meaning-making, but the body? We try to do what we think we know, that dance as a practice needs to explode silences. So, at the March 27th TTDB, after checking in with Justine, Sufei, and Sadira, we began by naming the format of TTDB that has been historically implied, but not explicitly stated in the last few sessions. That Sadira and Justine model an artist-to-artist conversation before opening up the discussion to the rest of the group. Without previously having been explicit about that structure, we'd inadvertently set up a dynamic that allowed less space for people to speak, or created less likelihood that people who don't normally speak to do so. Someone once succinctly said to me that a structureless space recreates the invisible structures at play, and with this in mind, we opened the floor up right away to the group to name some of the obstacles or working topics that were arising currently in the community. As a group, we came up with working conditions, casting based on race or gender, crediting artists, talkbacks. We gathered instances, frustrations, challenges from the room, sourcing solutions and questions. I held my own questions in that room too. What is the imagination of those present to shift some of the things we are dealing with? How do we gather support and courage to do so? At one point, Sufei brought up nonviolent communication, strategies for phrasing difficult things to others in a way that facilitates dialogue and potential space to be uncomfortable together. And I thought about the onus of the listener to practice receiving information they don't necessarily want to hear. The onus is on us to practice listening to our bodies and receiving sensations we might not necessarily want to feel, to stay here, to notice, and to respond. If we are in any kind of position of power or privilege, how can we practice being wrong, or humility in listening? The week after Talking, Thinking, Dancing, Body, I took Sufei's class twice. Built around the theme of obstacles and desires, Soufi invited us, alone and in partners, to pay attention to the sensations in our bodies and to move towards pleasure, noticing any obstacles we may encounter along the way. This practice of building our agility and resiliency in encountering discomfort, to be able to recognize it as such and to move towards it, around it, with curiosity, is also the work of TTDB, the work of being and living and making in a community, to curve around and hold obstacles rather than harden around or bury them.